National Radio Club.
Heidi Exers, welcome to Market Scope. This month we will flip the band switch and listen into the South Suburban Chicago FM stations. Starting on the educational portion of the band, here is Mark Marino.
Hey, Mark Marino here once again with a look at the FM stations for my home market of the South Suburbs of Chicago and Northwest Indiana. The first one we're going to hear wasn't around when I was growing up. It's almost a brand new station, maybe being on the air about 3 or 4 years, originally owned by the American Family Radio Network, but now it's owned and broadcasts the Sun Life Radio Network from Louisiana.
WBMF 88.1 FM, Crete, Illinois. KBDD.
Once again, this is Donnie Swagger inviting you to be with me September the 8th through the 10th, Lufkin Family Worship Center, Lufkin, Texas.
This is listener-supported Sun Life Radio. Send your support to Sun Life Radio, P.O. Box 262-550, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70826. Or call us at 1-800-288-8350. That's 1-800-288-8350.
Let the Word of God speak to your heart. This is the Sun Life Radio Network.
Want to give the number again before we take our first call from Rocky in Kansas, but the number is 1-800-342-8430, and Baton Rouge is 768-3688, and it's on air at sunliferadio.org.
This next station's been around for quite a long time. I remember hearing them in the early 70s. They're owned by the Gary Board of Education, but back then they didn't have the variety of programs that they do today.
Don't forget about the parade Tuesday, July 4th, with the Grand Marshal, Fred the Hammer Williamson. Sponsored in part by United Water, a Slack Enterprise production.
Welcome back to WGVE's Wake Up Call. Good morning to you, Northwest Indiana, TGIF, Friday, June 30th. Hey, check this out. Weather for today, nice one. Highs 82, low 64. Currently, it's 58 degrees, and guess what? There's no rain in the forecast. Let's take a look now at news from around Northwest Indiana. The Post Tribune newspaper is reporting this morning that a presentation by a pair of private food and maintenance companies did little to calm a restaurant.
Cameo on 88.7, the weekly wrap-up, Conscious Hip Hop, one of the most funnest bands out there, but keeping it hot. I want to give it up for our brothers in Chicago and sisters. Marched on City Hall yesterday in protest of the police shooting at a brother named Cabrini Green, a little young brother. Had that BB gun, dropped a gun, and got blasted on 5 times. Fortunately, the brother's still with us, but man. Weekly wrap-up, Conscious Hip Hop, DJ Precious Paul with y'all. It's 9:30, AWB, the Average White Band. Classic, y'all. Schoolboy Crush. Weekly wrap-up, Conscious Hip Hop, and old school funk. Y'all know how we do it.
Marvin Gaye, classic.
All right. I'm Wally Muhammad. This is The Communicator. Positive thoughts, music to your mind, body, and soul. And we are here on WGVE, the voice of education, Gary's voice. That's right, our voice, Gary's voice. We're communicating.
This next station has been on, I think, about a year. It's almost brand new. And it is an affiliate of the American Family Radio Network, which, if you recall, they used to own WBMF in Crete. Well, I don't know whether they own this station or not, but they sure run their network all the time. It's a brand new station at 88.9 in Lowell, Indiana.
Lay it down. No matter what it is that's troubling you today, lay it down at the foot of the cross. Jesus will take that burden from you and carry it for you. Sherry Kagi right here on AFR, today's Radio for Life. Hey, JJ, that was fun. having Ernest Dirks announced as our winner this morning for the great, big, huge Silver Dollar City Branson AFR Family Vacation Giveaway.
And if you missed it, it was so fun. He was actually at work on a ladder. What did he say? 17 steps up. Yeah. Hold on to that ladder, Ernest.
Has AFR made a difference in your life? Would you like to serve God in ways other than just writing a check for a donation? We need volunteers in the Lowell area to do minor technical work and make routine equipment checks at our WWLO tower site. If you can turn a screw or flip a switch, then we can use you. If you're interested and you'd like to be considered, send an email to volunteer@afr.net. That's volunteer@afr.net.
AFR News to the Hour. I'm Rusty Pugh. Parts of New England are experiencing the worst flooding since the 1930s. And those are the top stories to this hour on AFR News, America's Christian news leader. I'm Rusty Pugh.
This is WWLO, Lowell.
Now, folks, this next station, I didn't even realize what was up with it or where it was. I'm not sure if what we're actually hearing on this tape is the translator in Park Forest South, well, University Park is its new name, or if it's the one in Mount Prospect. Apparently, it's a group of translators strung together by some company or, I guess, nonprofit organization, because I don't hear any commercials, and it's called Asian FM. Now, what's really strange is he talks half in English and half in some Asian language, but I did manage to get an ID, and I got to tell you, usually getting an ID for these market scopes is not very difficult, but I got to tell you, I had to really work at it. This ID that you'll hear in a few moments was recorded shortly after 4 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, you know, the people have to understand, just the way you talk doesn't mean they can have you. No, you are a different person.
And it's not just me. I mean, I'm relating. I'm just relating. Ye Vipasha ka incident samne aa raha hai, aur ek incident samne aa raha hai. And I'm like, yaar, I get into this thinking process. Okay, you know what? What are you trying to do? It's like crazy.
You know, this lady came through all the way to India to entertain you. And, you know, she didn't think about that she's going to be harassed and molested over here.
It's a shameful act. You know, it's a very shameful act. I mean, ek to ye dekho ke kaun se mauke pe bulaya unko.
Exactly. You know, you're going for, you know,
Jashn-e-Azadi
ke din, you know, it's a great day, then our country was freed. And, you know, she's happy to be here and you're going to do that to her. For what? What did you get out of it?
Nothing. Sirf gandagi.
I mean, I don't.
मुझे एक बात समझ में नहीं आती लोगों को गंदगी उछाल के मिलता क्या? क्या मिलता गंदगी उछाल? And now just because she's an actress, people are going to say, oh, you know what? She's an actress. She's a drama publicity star. It's like, okay, if a girl cries, it's publicity.
Asian FM, USA's largest Desi FM radio network. Broadcasting live on 89.7 WWBM, Newnan, Georgia.
89.3 W207 BJ, Mount Prospect. And 89.1 W207 BR, University Park, Chicago.
91.3 K217 DJ, Kima. And 91.3 K217 DP, Parker, Houston. 89.1 W206 BI, Hamtramck, Detroit. And 89.5 W208 AU, Massapequa, New York. Asian FM, more songs. More choice, more variety.
I believe we were hearing 89.1 Asian FM, the translator for University Park.
Thanks, Mark. We look forward to next month finishing the educational band and beginning the commercial FMs. Remember, if you'd like to submit air checks or profiles of your hometown radio market, forward them to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351-1652. Thank you for all your help. Everyone have a safe and relaxing Thanksgiving holiday. Now here's Fred, and he's talking radio.
Thanks, Phil. I said on side one of this tape that I would give you some articles concerning deregulation. Let's start off with this one titled Broadcast Workers Oppose Deregulation by Jonathan Egerton of Broadcasting and Cable Magazine. He writes, while broadcast station owners have generally been asking the Federal Communications Commission to loosen their ownership rules, unions representing thousands of their employees have been asking for just the opposite. In filings with the Federal Communications Commission on its media ownership review, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, AFTRA, for example, says that it is unequivocally opposed to scrapping or loosening ownership rules, saying that its members on the news and programming side, quote, have been and will continue to be hurt by further media consolidation, unquote. It also urges that cable news channels, websites, and digital multicast channels would not count as distinct voices for the sake of measuring viewpoint diversity if they are owned by the same company. AFTRA argues that broadcasters' digital multicast streams will allow them to skirt current limits by using digital multicasting, quote, to broadcast new and additional channels, even where existing ownership rules do not permit them to obtain new licenses for new stations, unquote. In its comments, the Communications Workers of America said media owners are crying wolf when they say they need to merge to remain afloat, pointing to the 40-50% profit margins for local news. It argued for maintaining the newspaper broadcast ownership rule and strong structure limits on TV and radio station ownership. Meanwhile, the AFL-CIO has asked the Federal Communications Commission not only to scrap or loosen its rules, but to tighten a number of them. That includes strengthening prohibitions on television and newspaper and TV radio cross-ownership and tightening TV ownership limits. Meanwhile, in TV Week magazine, an article by Ira Tenowitz, group weighs in to Federal Communications Commission on media ownership. Ira writes, broadcasters on Monday urged the Federal Communications Commission to recognize how competition has changed over the past 30 years and ease media ownership rules, while consumer groups say changes aren't warranted. In an outpouring of filings on the last date the Federal Communications Commission is to accept comments on its media ownership rules reexamined, all sides are pulling out all stops. The National Association of Broadcasters contends that TV stations' deteriorating financial condition threatens their viability, and that Federal Communications Commission rules restrict duopolies fails to take into account the other competition and called the rule preventing companies from owning newspapers and broadcasters in a market anachronistic. The group suggested that many current FCC rules no longer rest on its firm foundation. Quote, in a multi-channel environment dominated by consolidated cable and satellite system operators, broadcasters are clearly unable to obtain and exercise any undue market power, NAB said in its filing. For this reason, the traditional rationale for maintaining a regulatory regime applicable not only to broadcasters and not their competitors is not a proper basis for keeping the current rules. It urged the Federal Communications Commission to structure its local ownership rules so that traditional broadcasters and newer programming distributors can all compete on an equitable playing field, and ease of the rules so that markets of all sizes can more easily form duopolies. CBS Corporation notes that the impact of YouTube, Google, and the iPod just since the FCC's last look at competition, has warranted that broadcasters are being hobbled by government regulations. The pace of change in the media marketplace is breathtaking, and it is only accelerating, it said. Regulations tailored to the marketplace conditions of what is, relatively speaking, ancient history have little relevance in today's rapidly evolving, immense, varied media environment. Without some form of relief to allow broadcasters to compete effectively, broadcasters' contributions are put at an ever-increasing jeopardy. Sinclair Broadcast Group urged the Federal Communications Commission to move full speed ahead with revamping the rules, but in the meantime, start immediately processing waivers for duopolies and ownerships not allowed under the current rules. While the commission does address its rules, it must acknowledge that there is no logical or scarcity-based justification for any restrictions on local television ownership, the filing said. Consumer groups warned that an easing would lead to a dumbing down of the public, arguing that an appellate court ruling that they won has forced the Federal Communications Commission's reexamination to make clear the FCC's duty is to ease rules only if doing so can clearly be shown to be in the public interest. The commission should not simply consider the effects on the industry competitive edge in the marketplace. Rather, the commission must place a greater emphasis on whether the public is actually being served by a diversity of voices, said a filing from the Coalition of Prometheus Radio Project, a Common Cause and Media Alliance, and the Center for Digital Democracy, among other groups. It is imperative that the Commission seriously weigh the benefits of the current rules to employ a diversity of voices. Meanwhile, on the Associated Press side and the Seattle Times, new report questions media consolidation by Hope Yen. Consumers would get less classical, jazz, and gospel music on radio, but little change in local television news coverage if the government eases rules to allow more media consolidation, a study says. The report released Monday by two private groups, the Benton Foundation and the Social Science Research Council, seeks to counter the Federal Communications Commission contention that consolidation would improve programming. They found that a radio company owning more stations in a local market typically did not offer niche formats such as classical, bluegrass, and Spanish language stations. Rather, the larger companies were more likely to offer several versions of Top 40, adult contemporary, and country music. FCC Commission decisions are too often based with insufficient data, said Gloria Trasanti, a former FCC commissioner and president of the Benton Foundation. These studies strongly suggest that ownership restrictions should be tightened, not relaxed. The Federal Communications Commission in June reopened the hotly disputed issue of ownership limits, including a number of radio and television stations one owner can have and restrictions on cross-ownership between newspapers and broadcasters. Former FCC Chairman Michael Powell pushed through the loosening of the rules in 2003, but the Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia threw them out on the grounds that the FCC complied an insufficient record to justify them. The 2003 changes would have let one corporation own, in a single community, up to three TV stations, 8 radio stations, the cable system, the only daily newspaper, and the biggest internet provider, according to a Democratic commissioner who opposed the plan. According to the studies released on Monday, cross-owned TV stations were more likely to offer local news, in part because larger news stations were usually the ones targeted for acquisition by newspapers. But when factoring out market size, the cross-owned ones did not provide more news than the other stations in the local news business. Also, media ownership opportunities for women and minority groups remain limited. Of the 12,844 radio and television stations that filed reports with the FCC in 2005, women owned only 3.4% and minorities 3.6%. Many of the broadcast television networks and large media groups, including the Tribune Company, Gannett Company, and the New York Times Company, have supported loosening rules, saying current restrictions are outmoded. In a digital age in which consumers also have the internet and cable television to choose from. Finally, from the Baltimore Sun newspaper, studies call one owner of multiple media a bad idea. This is by Nick Madigan of the Baltimore Sun. A Federal Communications Commission plan to ease restrictions on consolidation of media companies would lead to less local and fewer choices for radio and television audiences, according to studies released yesterday. The Benton Foundation and the Social Science Research Council, authors of the studies, conclude that media consolidation does not create better, more local or diverse media content, as the FCC maintains. For instance, the study said, a radio company that owns multiple stations in a local market is less likely to offer niche formats such as easy listening, bluegrass, Tejano, and classical music. FCC commission decisions are too often made with insufficient data, said Gloria Trisanti, a former FCC commissioner and president of the Benton Foundation, who told the Associated Press, quote, these studies strongly suggest that ownership restrictions should be tightened and not relaxed. The Federal Communications Commission has been reexamining its media ownership regulations, which restrict the number of broadcast outlets and newspapers that a company may own in a particular market. The agency's initial public comment period on the matter ended yesterday, and the studies by the two groups were intended to influence the FCC's deliberations. The Benton Foundation, based in Washington, says that it works to demonstrate the value of communications for solving social problems. The Social Science Research Council in New York City is a nonpartisan organization that researches public issues from media policy to the social impact of HIV and AIDS. Other groups concurred yesterday, including the Consumer Union, the Consumer Federation of America, and the Free Press. Gene Kimmelman, a vice president for Consumer Union, said most Americans rely on locally owned television stations and newspapers for local news. Cable and internet are not substitutes, he said. The group said that loosening ownership restrictions would result in less local news. Newspapers owned by out-of-town companies do not report many of these stories that matter to a local audience, he said. Rem Ryder, editor of the American Journalism Review, published by the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland, said in an interview that media consolidation has not been good for journalism. When you get a whole lot of stations owned by one owner, you get a whole lot more and more of cookie-cutter products, he said. You're going to lose local character, and certainly applies when one entity owns several forms of media in one town. You lose the competitiveness that is so important to journalism. So, what do you think? Meanwhile, here is Ken Onischuk.
Hello, DXers. Ken Onischuk here in my new home here in Lockport, Illinois, just north of Joliet. And I have some football news, a brief commentary, and the NHL. So let me get right into this. On Saturday, September the 9th, was the first full weekend of Big Ten football here. And here's what I could hear on the dial. The Illinois game was heard on 560 WIND, and I also heard it on 1320 WKAN. Valparaiso University in Indiana had a four-station network of 1500 WAKE, 1270 WWCA, and 95.9 WEFM. Purdue University has a local affiliate, 1230 WJOB in Hammond. Northwestern University in Evanston can be heard on 720 WGN and the University Station 89.3 WNUR. Northern Illinois University can be heard on the Score 670 WSCR, and local 1360 WLBK. Notre Dame Fighting Irish football can be heard on 890 WLS with Don Crickey, that is. Wisconsin football can be heard, though not mentioned here in the paper, on 620 WTMJ Milwaukee. University of Iowa can be heard here with a good signal daytime on 600 WMT. Indiana University can be heard here on a surprising signal 1370 WLTH, which has never done the games before. And Illinois State University down in Normal can be heard on 1280 WBIG out of Aurora. Okay, next item I want to pass along to you was a media commentary by Ed Sherman, Tribune, September 1st. Al Michaels and John Madden are together. James Brown remains host of an NFL pregame show, and Monday Night Football has an analyst whose fear of flying has him riding to games in a luxury bus. You know who that is. So what's for status quo for the new NFL season, right? Well, not exactly. New TV contracts mean lineup shifts on all fronts. The biggest changes? ABC out on Monday nights after 36 years. And NBC returning to the NFL beat, first time since 98, Sunday nights. So, here we go. NBC. On the surface, it seems like ABC's old Monday Night Football is on Sunday night. Oh, and on NBC. Madden and Michaels are changing networks and nights. NBC Sports Chairman Dick Ebersol had an opportunity to reinvent the wheel, but he feels comfortable going with established names. What is different is Football Night in America, a one-hour pregame show that will review all the action from Sunday night, Sunday's games, that is. Bob Costas will anchor with what should be a lively cast, including Chris Collinsworth, Jerome Bettis, and Sterling Sharp. NBC scored the biggest plum, flexible scheduling for weeks 10 through 15 and again in week 17. There's a complicated formula involving, but in the end, NBC should receive a solid matchup so Fox and CBS can protect their best games. ESPN. Somewhere, it must be written that at least one analyst on Monday Night Football has to arrive by bus, not plane. This time, it's Tony Kornheiser. The pardon the interruption star is ESPN's attempt to interject the Dennis Miller factor. The $8.8 billion question is, will Kornheiser develop a chemistry with fellow analyst Joe Theismann? It's been a work in progress during exhibitions. ESPN paid $8.8 billion over 8 years for the rights to Monday night, more than double what NBC paid for Sunday, but without the flexible schedule. Who has the best primetime package? Well, NBC with a better schedule to start with, room to adjust. Now to Fox. When Brown left his post as host of Fox NFL Sunday, network brass took their time before naming Joe Buck as the replacement. Wait a minute. Isn't Buck the network's lead play-by-play voice? Yeah. Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, and Jimmy Johnson will work on location at Buck's games. CBS. Brown comes in as host of NFL Today, a show that it seems bent on reinventing itself every year. CBS hopes Brown will bring some of his old Fox ratings with him. That's a big job. The addition of Brown means Greg Gumbel is paired with Dan Dierdorf on the network's number two team. Veteran Dick Endorf gets pushed down the ladder, hurting his ego. NFL Network. The league's broadcast outlet will air a slate of 8 late-night Thursday and Saturday games, beginning Thanksgiving. In what looks to be an inspiring pair, Brian Gumbel will call games with Collinsworth, but Gumbel's recent appointed comments on 8HBO about Gene Upshaw, the union chief, had many wondering if Gumbel would be there in November. The league says he will. Stay tuned. Okay, friends, local radio is WBBM 780 with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer returning for the call. And post-game, pre-game with Ron Gleason, Jim Schwanz, and Jay Hilbertenberg. Okay, now I want to pass along to you the National Hockey League with what I've had over the internet. And here we go. Anaheim Mighty Ducks told me nothing. Last year they were at 1090 XPRS. It's the Atlanta Thrashers on 680 WCNN and a network with Dan Kemal and Billy Jaffe. The Boston Bruins on 1030 WBZ plus five others, Dave Goucher and Bob Beers. Buffalo Sabres on 550 WGR with Rick Jenneret and Jim Lorenz. The Calgary Flames, hard to get information though, 960 CFAC. The Raleigh, North Carolina Hurricanes. Just call the Carolina Hurricanes. 102.9 WWMY and four affiliates. The Chicago Blackhawks, 670 WSCR, with newcomer John Wiedemann and Troy Murray. The Denver Colorado Avalanche, 950 KKFN and 16 affiliates. The Columbus Blue Jackets, 1460 WBNS, 1011 WWCD, and a small network in Ohio, with George Matthews and Bill Davidge. The Dallas Stars on 820 WBAP, Ralph Strangis and Daryl Riel. Detroit Red Wings, 1270 WXYT, and a network with Ken Call and Paul Woods. The Edmonton Oilers on 630 CHED with Rod Phillips and Morley Scott. The Miami Florida Panthers on 760 WEFL, which is ESPN, 560 WQAM, and once in a while on 1360 WKAT with Steve Goldstein and Randy Mahler. The Los Angeles Kings, not specifically mentioned, but I'm pretty sure 710 KSPN with Nick Nixon and Daryl Evans. The Minnesota Wild out of Minneapolis-St. Paul on 830 WCCO with Tom Kurtz and Bob Reed. Montreal was a tough one, and I'll assume they're in English on 800 CJAD. The Nashville Predators on 104.5 WGFX, plus in the suburbs 560 WNSR with Pete Weber and Terry Crisp. The New Jersey Devils out in East Rutherland, New Jersey on 660 WFAN with Tom Chersky and Matt Laughlin. The New York Islanders made themselves unavailable. The New York Rangers on 1050 WEPN. During conflicts, some games go to WABC. With a crowded booth, Rosen, Troutwig, Kenny Albert, Ross, and Troutwig. The Ottawa Senators in English on 1200 CFGO and a network, and in French 1150 CJRC. Philadelphia Flyers on 610 WIP with Tim Saunders and Brian Pop. Prop, that is. The Phoenix Coyotes, the one that Wayne Gretzky owns. 1060 KDOS with Bob Heathice and Louis DeBrusque. The Pittsburgh Penguins on 105.9 in New Home, WXDX with Paul Steigerwald and Bob Airy. The San Jose Sharks on 98.5, the Fox, KOFX, and Dan Rusinowski with a network. The St. Louis Blues on 550 KTRS and Educational 88.7 WSIE in Illinois with Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase, and a network in Illinois and Missouri. The Toronto Maple Leafs on 640 Mojo Radio, which is CFMJ Richmond Hill. The Tampa Bay Lightning on 620 WDAE with Dave Michigan and Phil Esposito. And finally, the Vancouver Canucks on 980 CKNW with Jim Hewson and Jordan Shorthouse. Corrections are welcome at my home, 815-838-2179. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Talk to you again next month. Take care, Fred.
Well, as Ed Potter would say, it's time for the hustles. Actually, it's a special DX Audio Service member offer. Until November the 30th, we have a special offer to DX Audio Service members. How would you like to get a free month added to your DX Audio Service? How about 2 months? Here's the deals. If you would like to give a gift subscription of the DX Audio Service to someone this holiday season, we'll give you 2 months more on your subscription for each subscription you take out for someone who is not presently a DX Audio Service member or someone who has not been a member within the past year. This offer is valid for up to 6 memberships. Or if you can get a past member of the DX Audio Service who's gone more than 2 years to rejoin again, we'll add on 2 months of the DX Audio Service for each member that rejoins. Plus, we'll send you a copy of All Radio 3. Just be sure that they mention your name when they rejoin. These offers are not valid for DX News Magazine, EDXN Magazine, or All Radio. It's the holiday season and time to think about your gifts. And what could be better than a gift of the favorite magazine on the block, the DX Audio Service? Contact me at the DX Audio Service at area code 360-382-1957. That's 360-382-1957 if you need more information. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Crazy Ken closet clearance sale. Try saying that 10 times. Yes, it is. It's a Crazy Ken closet clearing sale. And while supplies last, Crazy Ken needs more space now that he's retired from the National Radio Club Publications Department. And instead of shipping everything to Wayne in colorful Colorado, we're going to put it all on sale. So we'd like to get rid of all these tapes because once these old cassette tapes are gone, they will never be republished again. So here's the list of all the After Dark and all radio tapes that we have available. Starting it off is After Dark Volume 2. Volume 2 is a 90-minute cassette collection in a plastic album. It contains air checks from such rarities as WNRC and the 1984 IRCA convention station WTCL 830, as well as Laser 558, and much more from broadcast band FM and shortwave. A variety of what's happening in radio formats, the Rule Primer, and For Beginners column, and much more. It was $9.50 to U.S. and Canada. It's now only $7. There's only 4 copies left. After Dark Volume 3, it's 4 90-minute cassettes in a plastic album, contains an interview with Radio Netherlands' Jonathan Marks, host of Media Network, an interview with Dr. Bruce Elving, who is the editor of the FM Atlas, a complete Las Vegas, Nevada band scan, the 10th anniversary of WOJB-FM, an American Indian-owned and operated radio station, WWTC in Minneapolis with their All Kids Radio Oz format, and Chicago's Voices in the Night. It was $9.50 to U.S. and Canada. It's now only $7, and there's only 2 copies left. Well, we just sold out of After Dark number 5, which was a biggie, so we'll move on to After Dark number 9. After Dark number 9 is 2 90-minute cassettes in a plastic case. On this edition, we feature the 1400 kHz travelogue by John Bowker, a look at Radio Bemis, how to file comments with the Federal Communications Commission on radio happenings, Sex and Deception, the Dr. Laura scandal, Screening Calls, the life of a screener on a radio talk show, an AP story about screening your phone service, and Ken Honestchuck has a story on the selling off sports. It was $5 to U.S. and Canada, now only $3.50. There's 15 copies left. After Dark number 11. It's 2 90-minute cassettes in a plastic box. We have no clue what's on this tape, but it's got to be a good one because it was one of the last ones we did. It was $5 to U.S. and Canada, now only $3.50. There's only 7 copies left. All Radio Volume 1 is the first in the series of All Radio after we changed the name of the magazine. An interview with David Gropner, a CEO of TM Century, the jingle company in Dallas, Texas. John Bowker reads an article about Clear Channel Radio's competition. Ken Honestchuck reads an article from his newspaper about jazz radio in Chicago. John Malachy gives us a tour of 540 CBEF in Canada, or is that CBUF? Mark Durenberger tells us about some CBS milestones. John Bowker talks about FCC rules and regulations. I talk about DRM, a story about a group of people who are trying to get ads pulled out of the Rush Limbaugh show. Will liberal talk radio work? From NPR, a piece about the consolidation of radio and old-time radio. Del Rio, Texas is looking at to give Wolfman Jack a tribute. And I read 2 stories about EAS fines and regulations. I also talk with Leonard Kahn of Kahn Communications about digital medium wave radio. All Radio Volume 1 was $5. It's now only $3.50, and there's only 1 copy left. All Radio Volume 2 George Gimark and Pat Reeder talk about their book, Hollywood Hi-Fi, and play some examples of songs. And believe me, it is really a riot. Steve Eberhardt tells us why KLIF 1190 was an icon of radio. National Radio Club member Ben Dangerfield talks about what it was like to DX during World War II. Bob Savage, owner of WYSL, talks about his career in radio. We have some stories about IBOC programming. Also an ending feature, the Business Meeting Awards from the 2003 National Radio Club Convention in Dallas, Texas, and the 2004 convention in Rochester, New York. 3 hours of talk about the National Radio Club. It was $5 to U.S. and Canada, now only $3.50, and there's only 3 copies left. We'd also like to try to get rid of some of our old cassette binders. If you have some tapes that you like to put into albums, the 4 cassette binders are $4.50 for one, 2 for $8, 3 for $10, or 6 for $16. If you'd like some 12 cassette binders, which are great for putting a whole year of the DX audio service in, we've got them for $8 for one, $14 for two, $16 for three, and $19 for six. As I mentioned, we'd like you to go to our website to buy these things if possible, just because once you place an order, it's deducted from the inventory. That way, if you put a check in the mail, you don't get your check returned because the item's already been sold. First come, first served. If you'd like to send a check, however, send that check to Wayne Heinen, H-E-I-N-E-N, at Post Office Box 473251, Aurora, that's A-U-R-O-R-A, Colorado, 80047-3251. If possible, you might want to include an email address in case Wayne has to get back with you because an item is not in stock or has a question, or a daytime and a nighttime telephone number where you can be reached. Again, send your check to Wayne Heinen. Make sure the check is payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated. And one last reminder, once these tapes are gone, they're gone for good. We're not republishing them ever again.
It's time now for the DXchange. If you've something to buy, sell, or trade, send it to us on a card or letter. Your ad will appear on the DX Audio Service and DX News Magazine. Ads are free to DX Audio Service members.
Hello, fellow DXers. Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, on the 18th of October. I need to tell you that I have an item for sale that could be put on the DXchange list. It is a Zenith Transoceanic AM-FM shortwave radio, model R7000Y. I have had it since this February. It is basically a good radio. However, in this locality, I am getting some shortwave or actually TV images or FM images throughout some of the shortwave bands. And I am asking $150 or best offer. If anybody wishes to contact me, they can reach me at area code 617-924-7197.
Before we skedaddle out of here, we've got some CPC tests to report. The first being WODI 1230 in Brookneal, Virginia, is testing from now until, well, until they get tired of running tests, I guess. 1 kilowatt non-directional. They've arranged to have a test every Saturday night from midnight local until 5 minutes past the hour of midnight. This is a 5-minute DX test with sweep tones, Morse code IDs, and so far it's been widely heard. So try for that test and see if you can get a hold of WODI. WMRO 1560 in Gatlin, Tennessee will be conducting a DX test from midnight to 5 a.m. Central Time, October 30th through November the 13th. This is a two-week test from midnight until 5 a.m. Central Time. Modes of operation will be an inventory insert test. That is a 60-second long test at 3 watts non-directional. One night they may include a brief full power test. Programming is Morse code ID, sweep tones, 60-second long inventory insert. Note the transmitter audio chain will be tested. Exact times of the inserted spots will be given closer to the test time. In general, look for the test to run near the top of the hour. The extreme low power of this station should make this one a real challenge. WWNH 1340 in Madbury, New Hampshire, will conduct a DX test late Sunday night, November the 5th, 2006, from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Modes of operation will be 1,000 watts non-directional. And finally, the state of Montana is one of the rarest for all DXers, especially those out east of the Mississippi River. And there's going to be a special DX test of four stations late Saturday night, November the 18th, midnight, continuing until early Sunday morning, November the 19th at 2 a.m. local time. Stations include KEIN 1310 in Great Falls, Montana, KLCY 930 in East Missoula, Montana, KGVO 1290 in Missoula, Montana, and KANA 580 in Anaconda, Montana. Go get 'em. That's our DX audio service for this month. We'll see you next month.